The story that's in Genesis 27 is a tragedy. It's the story that involves a family of four. There was a father named Isaac, a mother named Rebekah, and two twin boys, the oldest named Esau, the youngest named Jacob. Before these boys were born, God had told their mother that the elder shall serve the younger, which was very unusual because it was usually the other way around. The elder, in fact, I'm going to talk about the birthright that existed back in those days, and it was the part of the elder's birthright that he would be the leader of the family as the father passed away. But God had told Rebekah that when these boys would be born, that the elder shall serve the younger. After they were born, Esau and Jacob, mom and dad picked favorites, which, by the way, you should not do. You should love all your children the same. You should not have favorites. But the Bible says that Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Now, in those days, there was something called a birthright. There were several features of this birthright. One of them was that the oldest got a double portion of the inheritance. So in this case, there were two boys. And so Esau, as the oldest, would deserve a two-thirds portion, and Jacob, as the youngest, would get one-third, the older getting a double portion of the inheritance. Another feature was, as I mentioned, that when Dad passed away, that the older brother, as part of his birthright, would become the leader of the family. And in this particular family, the part of their birthright was that the oldest would get to be in the lineage of Christ. Now, when God told Rebekah that the elder shall serve the younger, what he was telling her that the birthright provisions were not going to apply as they normally did. That instead of Esau having a double portion of the inheritance, instead of Esau being the leader of the family when Isaac passed away, and instead of Esau being in the lineage of Christ, that birthright was going to pass to Jacob. And of course, it's not part of my sermon tonight, but you know the story how Esau, after he came in from hunting one day, actually sold his birthright to Jacob for some stew, for some pottage. And of course, it goes without saying, because Esau was Isaac's favorite, Isaac wanted Esau to get the birthright. Didn't matter to him what God said. He wanted Esau to get the birthright. And, of course, because Jacob was Rebekah's favorite, she wanted him to get the birthright. So, in Genesis chapter 27, Isaac is now an old man. He said in verse 3, I know not the day of my death. And he was talking to Esau. He'd called Esau, and he said, I don't know when I'm going to die. I'm an old man. I could die at any time. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your bow. I want you to go out to the field. I want you to take me some venison. I want you to make me savory meat like that I love. You bring it to me. I'll eat it. I'll bless you. I'll give you the blessing of the birthright that a dying dad gives to his oldest son. And so Esau went out to go hunt. Now, Rebekah hears this conversation, and she comes up with a scheme to get this blessing for Jacob. She calls Jacob, and she says, Jacob, here, I want you to go get me two baby goats, two kid of goats. I've never understood how you can make a goat taste like deer, but I can eat deer and not know it's deer, Brian, so I guess if you cooked goat for me and told me it was deer, I'd believe it was deer. But Rebekah said, Jacob, I want you to go get me two baby goats. I'll make them and cook them just like your dad likes them. You'll take it to your dad, he'll eat, and then he'll give you the blessing. Jacob said, but Mom, my brother Esau is a hairy man and I'm smooth. And by the way, he was smooth in more ways than one. And let me just say to the teenage girls, you be careful. Somebody that's smooth is smooth. And you better listen to your mom and your dad and your grandpa and your grandma and your pastor, anybody else that tries to give you advice about a boy that you're going with is smooth. He's probably smooth in more than one way. And you need to heed their advice. But Jacob says, he wasn't talking to, and he was smooth in more than one way, but he was smooth of skin. He said, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man. I'm smooth. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to take this meat into Dad. He's going to feel me. I'll seem to him as a deceiver, and instead of giving me a blessing, he will give me a curse. And Rebekah said, upon me be thy curse. Just obey me. Go get me the two baby goats. And so Jacob went out. He got the little baby goats. Rebekah cooked them. And then she dressed Jacob in Esau's clothes. Okay? She took some clothes that were with her in the house that belonged to Esau, and she put them, and she said, Jacob, put these clothes on. And then she did something else. She took some skins off those goats and put them on the back of Jacob's hands and on the back of Jacob's neck, knowing that if Isaac felt Jacob's smooth hands and his smooth neck, he would realize right away it wasn't Esau, that it was Jacob. And so she said, hey, we're gonna tie these skins around your hands, around your neck, so that if your dad feels you, he'll think it's Esau. And so they dressed him in Esau's clothes. They put these skins of goats on his hands and on his neck. And Jacob takes the meat that his mother has prepared and goes in to his father. And he says, Dad, I'm here. And Isaac says, well, who's here? And Jacob says, Esau, your son Esau. I got the venison that you wanted. And Isaac said, well, how'd you find it so fast? I mean, you found it faster than any other time that you've gone out hunting. How did you kill a deer so quickly? And Jacob said, God brought it to me. God, I mean, he just out and out lied. He said, God brought it to me. And that's where our scripture reading comes in. And Isaac said unto Jacob, come here. He said, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him, and said, now listen to what he said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother's Esau hands. So he blessed him. He gave him the blessing and he thought he was giving it to Esau. He wanted Esau to have the blessing. And here's what I want you to get out of that story. And it does form the basis of my message tonight. Instead of acting on what he heard, he said, the voice is Jacob's voice. It's Jacob. But it feels like Esau. So instead of acting on what he heard, he acted on what he felt, and as a result, he was deceived, and as a result, he gave the blessing to a son that he didn't want to give the blessing to. Tonight, I want to preach a message I've entitled, Faith, Not Feeling. Faith, Not Feeling. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The objects of our faith cannot be seen. They cannot be felt. If we can see something, there's no use, we don't need faith. In fact, the Bible says that. It uses the word hope, but it says in the book of Romans, hope, if you can see something, you don't need hope because you can see it. If I can see something, I don't need faith because I can see it. Faith is the substance of things that I can't see and that I hope for, but that I can't see. And then you put that together with Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You get the theme from my message tonight.
So many times we as Christians and we as people make decisions and base our life and on things that we feel, instead of basing our life and basing our decisions on our faith, which comes from hearing the Word of God. I hear the Word of God. I have faith that God has given to me that it's true, and what God says, He means. But instead of basing my life on that faith, again, something that I cannot see, but I believe because it comes from God, instead of basing my life and basing my decisions on that faith, I base them on what I feel. And any time we base our life and base our decisions, especially our decisions, on what we feel instead of our faith, Satan is going to deceive us. We are going to make poor decisions, and we're going to be a mess. We're going to be a mess. And so tonight, faith, not feeling. Faith, not feeling. The Bible says three times, the just shall live by faith. It says it in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. It says it in Romans chapter 1, verse 17. It says it in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Doesn't say the just should live by feeling. Doesn't say that. Feeling will get us in trouble. If we, again, make our decisions based on feeling, we are going to be deceived and we're going to make mistakes. Let me just give you a couple examples before I get to my points tonight. I think it probably felt pretty good to Eve when she ate the fruit. Satan had told her, hey, if you eat this fruit, you won't die like God says. Your eyes will be open and you will be as wise as God. You will know what God knows. And Eve thought about that for a little bit and she says, hey, you know, that feels pretty good for me to know what God knows. I mean, certainly God would want that for me, huh? Wouldn't that make you feel good to know what God knows? Certainly God would want that for me, but the Bible says she was deceived. She should have made her decision on her faith in the Word of God, and God had said, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, at this point, I don't think she had experienced death. I don't think anything had died yet in the garden. I don't think any animal had died yet in the garden. And yet God said, in the day that you eat the fruit of this tree, this was the Word of God, you're going to die. And she should have, by faith, believed what God said and should have, by faith, decided whether she was going to eat the fruit or not based on her faith in what God said. Instead, she based her faith on how it felt when Satan said, oh, you can be as wise as God. You can know what God knows. I mean, that would make you feel really good, wouldn't it? And so she took the fruit. Hey, Brother John, could you turn the fans on for us just to move a little air around? Thank you. She took the fruit. She gave it to Adam. He ate. The Bible says Adam was not deceived. He knew what he was doing. That's a different story. I preached a sermon on that. Adam was not deceived. He knew what he was doing when he ate the fruit. But Eve was deceived. And as a result, they did die. You say, preacher, they didn't die. They lived a long time after that. I know they lived a long time physically, but they died spiritually because they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. The Bible says God cast them out of the garden, put an angel on guard at the gate of the garden, and they were separated, and their relationship with God was broken. The fellowship that God created them for was broken, and they died spiritually that day when they ate of that fruit. And again, anytime we make our decisions based on feeling instead of faith, we will be deceived, we will make a bad decision, and we will pay a price. So faith, not feeling. Another example. I think it felt pretty good to Lot when he chose to move toward Sodom, when his uncle Abraham gave him the choice, hey, if you go this way, I'll go this way. If you go this way, I'll go this way. Now, Lot, as the younger, should have said to his uncle, oh no, I'm not as wise as you are. You pick, I'll go the other place. Tell me where I should live. Just point out to me where I should live. I'll be obedient to you. I'll submit my will to yours. But Lot looked at the plains of Sodom. They were well watered. They had a lot of grass. He said, boy, this would be good for my animals. I mean, I can get rich if I move over here to Sodom because it's well watered, got a lot of water, it's got a lot of good grass. My animals will flourish. They'll multiply and I can get rich and just have riches untold. Anytime we move for money, we are making a mistake. Anytime we move when God doesn't tell us to move, we are making a mistake. And Lot made his decision on how he felt. Oh, it would feel pretty good to have a lot of money. It would feel pretty good to have animals that prospered and multiplied, and I had a lot of them. But what Lot did not realize, or he ignored, was that there was wickedness in that direction, the wickedness of Sodom, and that wickedness was going to overtake him. Part of his family was going to be destroyed when fire and brimstone fell from heaven in punishment on that city. His wife was going to be turned into a pillar of salt as she turned back when the angels that pulled him out of the city said, don't look back. She looked back. And we know the rest of the story. When they moved to a cave, his two younger daughters got him drunk and committed the sin of incest with him. And Lot paid a price for making a decision based on feeling and not on faith. God had told him, don't join up with the people of that land. Separate yourself from the people of the land. I'm going to give you the land, but don't mix with the people. And Lot said, well, I'm going to make my decision not based on my faith in the word of God. I don't think Lot could see what was going to happen when he moved in that direction, but he should have had enough faith to believe that God knew what he was talking about and said, oh no, and again, I think he should have said to his uncle, you tell me where I should live. You tell me where I should pick. But he made his decision based on feeling. He was deceived and paid a terrible price for making his decision based on feeling. It probably felt good to David to sin with Bathsheba. The Bible tells us that sin for a season is pleasurable. But it also says sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. In his sins with Bathsheba, David broke 6 of the 10 commandments. And I could probably make the case that he broke all 10 of them. But I can make the case very strongly that he broke 6. He coveted. He committed adultery. He committed murder. He lied. He stole. And he sure did not honor his parents and the way that they brought him up. So 6 of the commandments he broke. And for those few minutes of pleasure, he paid a terrible price. His daughter was raped. His son was murdered. Another son went into exile and then returned to lead a rebellion against him. And then that son was killed in battle. And instead of deciding on how it felt, he should have decided on faith in the word of God and simply believed that the Ten Commandments and breaking the Ten Commandments have a consequence, have a price that go along with breaking them. So faith, not feeling. Now, let me give you my 3 points. Number 1, it feels good to concentrate on the love of God. Feels good. I mean, it feels good just to bathe and to know that God is a God of love. And we know that God loves us so much that he would never do anything to hurt us. And some people take that feeling they get when they think about the love of God and take the next step that says, well, since God loves us so much, he would never send anybody to hell. That makes a person feel good to have that kind of God. A God that loves us so much that he'd never do anything to hurt us. And a God that loves us so much that he would never send anybody to hell. I mean, doesn't that feel good to have that kind of God? God is a God of love, and God does love us. But the same God that loves us tells us that we're all sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. The same God that loves us tells us that the wages of sin is death, separation from him for all eternity. The same God that loves us sent Jesus to the cross to die a terrible death to pay the price for our sin. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, when Jesus went to the cross, his Father laid on him the sins and iniquities of us all. And the same God that loves us is the one that sent Jesus to the cross to die in our place. The same God that loves us will one day set as our judge, and one day the same God that loves us will cast every single person that has rejected Christ into the devil's hell to live there forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Yes, praise God that he loves us. And it feels good to think that we have a God that loves us. But don't let your feelings make you cross the line that says, well, a God that loves us will send nobody to hell. Yes, he will, because he's a God of justice, and he's going to do what's just. And by the way, that same line of reasoning causes people to say, well, hell's not forever. Well, people will go there and they'll suffer for a while, but then God will forgive them and he'll give them a way out, and they'll get to go to heaven and they'll live with God in heaven forever and ever and ever. I want to tell you something, there's no second chances. Once you enter the gates of hell, there is no second chances. Nobody can pay your way out. Nobody can work your way out. There is no way of escape. It's eternal damnation. I cannot see it. I cannot feel it. I have never personally known anybody that has gone there and come back and given a personal account. But I have enough faith in this book that what God says is true, and that there is a place called hell, and those that reject Jesus Christ will spend eternity there. So I'm not going to make my decisions about Jesus based on how I want to feel about God being a God of love. I'm going to make my decisions about Jesus based on my faith in this book and what this book says, that there is a hell. It's a place of eternal damnation. And once you go, you're there forever. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know why any sane person that has the measure of faith that God has dealt to them would read this book, which, by the way, talks more about hell than it does about heaven. I mean, we read in Luke chapter 16, I think, about the rich man that went to hell. And the Bible says he was in torments. He was in, I don't know about you, but it's, I don't know if I'm because I'm preaching about hell, but it is hot. But the Bible says that when he was in hell, he was in torments. And we read that word, we don't think about it. I mean, but just think about it. He was being tormented. And he looked up and saw the beggar that lived near his house when they were alive. He said, and he saw Abraham. He said, Abraham, could you just send Lazarus, that beggar, just have him dip the tip of his finger in water and come and touch my tongue, for I am in torments in this flame. Again, I don't know how any sane person can read this book about hell and not run to Christ, and not run to the Savior, and not run to the one that died for him and say, Jesus, save me. I don't want to go to hell. I just don't understand it. And if you're here tonight, I don't know why you've waited so long. Why would you take the chance like Brother Leonard prayed a minute ago? We don't know if we're going to have tomorrow or not. I mean, this may be, if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, this may be your last chance to ask him. I would not leave this place tonight without knowing for sure that you're saved and on your way to heaven. And the Bible says we can know. We can know. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And it's wonderful to bathe in the love of God, and I do it often. But I made my decision on Jesus, not on my feelings, but on my faith that hell is real. Number two, it feels good to fantasize, to think, what if? There's been hundreds of thousands of people the last few days doing that about the lottery. What if I won? I don't know how much money it is, over $200 million. What if I won? What if I got all that money? Just think what I could do. I've known Christians that tried to bargain with God. Oh, let me win. I'll give you 90% and I'll keep 10. I'll do it backwards. God's, I'll just tell you, don't. God's not. I think God's up, sometimes up in heaven when Christians come to him, he just looks and shakes his head. Say, how stupid can they be? How dumb can they be? How foolish can they be? But it feels good. Oh, I'll win all that money. People fantasize when they're having a tough time in their marriage. Well, just what if I was married to somebody else? What if I was married to the perfect woman? No offense, ladies, but there ain't no such thing. Just like there ain't no such man. Terry was telling me a story this morning about somebody talking to God, I guess, about Adam talking to God. He said, how come you made Eve so beautiful? And God said, so that you would love her. How come, you know, and just went on and on about different things, and the answer was the same, because so you would love her. And then Adam asked the question, well, why'd you make her so dumb? And God said, so she would love you. Amen, that's right. But we had a rough time in our marriage, and we think, oh, I wonder what it'd be like if I was married to somebody else. We dream about what it might be if we had a different life. And it feels good when we think those thoughts. I think Eve did that before she ate the apple. Oh, it'd be good. It'd feel good to know as much as God does. I think Lot did that. Oh, yeah. I can just see myself living over there towards Sodom and that good land and that good water. And boy, that'd be good. It'd be good. David did the same thing with Bathsheba. And I'll tell you tonight, that's where most sin starts. Starts right here. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. And when sin takes root in our head, it spreads to our bodies. That's why we need to control what we think about. We can't stop Satan from tempting us. I mean, we'll read something that will get us thinking a certain way. We'll see something that will get us thinking a certain way. We'll think something that'll get us thinking a certain way. And you can't stop Satan from doing that. But you can stop yourself from dwelling on it. You can stop yourself from working up feelings about it. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, you cannot fantasize about winning the lottery and meet the requirements of this verse. Can't do it. You say, oh, preacher, you don't know all the good that I would do with that money. Yeah. You cannot think about being married to somebody else and meet the requirements of this verse. You cannot think about having a different life and meet the requirements of this verse. If Eve or Lot or David, I know the verse hadn't been written yet when they lived, but the principle was there because the word of God is eternal. If Eve or Lot or David had disciplined their thought life by this verse, Eve would not have ate the fruit. Lot would not have moved toward Sodom, and David would not have committed the sin with Bathsheba. Faith, not feeling. You will be deceived. I will be deceived. We will be deceived if we make our decisions or base our life on how we feel. We need to base it on faith in the Word of God. Number three, it feels good to give in to the flesh, to do what you want, to take what you want, to feel what you want. Just feels good. I mean, I know this every time I eat a Butterfingers. I'll confess my sin tonight. I've been trying to lose weight, and it's like they're calling my name. We're still here. You haven't eaten us all yet. Now listen, I told you a couple weeks ago, no more Butterfingers. I'll be doggone if somebody didn't give me a pack of 10. Not the little ones, the big ones. And being the loving pastor that I am, I can't refuse them. I got to eat them. So I got rid of all the little ones. Now I'm down to 9 big ones. So no more, please. No more Butterfingers. But listen, I know. I mean, it feels so good when I have that desire for the Butterfingers to just go in there and eat it. Feels good. Tastes good. Until I get up and step on the scale, or until I have to suck in my stomach to button my pants, and then it don't feel so good. You see, when we give in to our feelings and give in to the flesh, the feelings don't last. They're like Solomon talks about in the book of Ecclesiastes. They're vanity and vexation of spirit. And when we give in, our feelings take us further than we want to go. They keep us longer than we want to stay, and they cost us more than we want to pay. You say, well, it feels good. I know. But it doesn't last. It doesn't last. It doesn't matter how it feels. Don't make your decision, and again, I know I'm harping on the same point, but I really only have one point tonight. Don't make your decisions based on feelings. Make them in faith based on what's in this book. Don't order your life based on feelings. Order your life based on your faith that of what God says in this book. This book was written by our Creator. This book was written by the one that made us and designed us and has a plan for our life. This book was written by one that knows more about life than any of us will learn in our lifetime. He went before us, as Adam sang in the song. He walked the path before us. He knows what we face. And if we will just believe what he says in his book, and live our life based on that. You say, preacher, I don't know for sure that what God says he means. I just can't see it. Yeah, you can't see it. If you could see it, it wouldn't need faith. That's why you need faith. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Jacob should have believed what he heard instead of what he... Isaac should have believed what he heard. It's Jacob's voice. I know it's Jacob, but it feels like Esau. I'll go with my feelings. Don't go with your feelings. You'll be deceived, just like he was. Satan will do it. You'll do it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the word and the teachings that it gives us. And I pray tonight you would take the truth, your truth, and you would put it into our hearts and our minds. And Father, we would make our decisions and we would base our life based on faith in this book, not on what we feel. I pray if there's somebody here tonight that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, that they would see their sin tonight and see that the only hope they have for heaven, the only hope they have for avoiding hell, is to come to Christ. And I pray tonight they would come. Let us help them and take the Bible and show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Again, speak to us that are Christians and do in our life what you know needs to be done. We'll give you all the glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.